don't know if you noticed, but just before they sung that song, they were playing "I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary." We're going to hear about Mount Calvary this morning in the message. Wanted to look back over Romans a little bit as we did our scripture reading this morning. It was a great week. If you were here at all, you got to enjoy some of it. If you were here for all of it, you maximized the effectiveness. It was a great week. Now I'm going to look back at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. It's in your bulletin. And in your bulletin, you'll find that we've got it for you, bold print, and then regular print, bold print, regular print. And we switched it this week. I want you to start, and then I'll echo you as we do our responsive reading. So we're beginning here in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. Brother Richie Baird, if you wouldn't mind coming, open us up in prayer this morning. And he's our Sunday school teacher. What's the name of your class? The Friendship class. Make sure I got that right. The Friendship class. Every Sunday morning, got a great class that they meet. And so I ask him to open us in prayer in just a few moments. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. I'll get you started in verse 9 and then let you have it, and then we'll exchange it back and forth. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. If it be possible, if it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Great reminder what the gospel looks like when it's lived out. Brother Richie, please open us up in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word that went out this morning. May our hearts have been pricked in Sunday school to understand that you are the provider of all things. You're Jehovah Jireh. Yes. That you provided your son Jesus as our sacrifice, yes, your sacrifice for our sins, and that through faith we could have those eternal promises of eternal life. Thank you for your word this morning. If those that are here are aching and hurting in their heart, may they be encouraged to hear the message of Calvary. May all men be drawn up to that was lifted up for our sake, and that we need you, Lord. And we just thank you for that peace that you've given us through your word and through fellowship in your son. May you be glorified today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you look like you're ready to sing this morning. Let's take a hymn book. Turn to page 319. 319. Let's stand as we sing, "Near the Cross, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." 319.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's
cross.
ladies on the third. Ladies, sing it out on the third verse. Men on the last verse, all the men now.
Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the rim.
Sing it out now, everyone. Bring out all the parts now. Here we go, on the chorus together.
In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find
gorgeous. God bless you. You may be seated. Wonderful. Now sit back and picture Jesus Christ when God had to turn His face away, when He bore your sin and for mine there on the cross of Calvary. He was our fairest Lord Jesus. Listen as Mrs. Reynolds plays.
In case you want to know, that's my mom. A little proud of her. Just a little bit, you can tell. Thanks, Miss Becky. That is wonderful. It does make you reflect on the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we're thrilled to have each and every one of you here this morning that I got to meet. A few of the folks that are our guests this morning. And I want to know if there's others that are here that are our guests. And if you are, we'd like for you to do something for us. Very simple. First of all, you're going to need one of our bulletins. We want you to have one of these anyhow because it's going to have your announcements, have the other things in it as well that we want you to have in your hand. If you don't have one of these, whether you're a member or whether you're a guest with us this morning, raise your hand and let one of the ushers bring one of our bulletins to you. They'll get that to you as quick as they can. Just hold your hand up until they bring it to you. Once you get it, those of you that are our guests, if you'll take the side that's got the small little flap attached to it and simply tear that off, and then fill that out underneath where it says welcome visitors. Now on the back side, there's some opportunity to tell us if you'd like to serve in certain ways. That's for anybody. You can order DVDs. Some of you have asked about the Romans, the Founders Conference, marching through Romans. Don't know if those are available yet, but you can order those right there as well. Just let us know. We don't have a package price or anything like that ready. So if you want to hold off until we have that, that's fine. But you can order those kind of things on the back. But underneath welcome visitors, we want our guests to fill that out. And then do one of two things with it. Take that and either put it in the offering plate. That'll be your contribution for us this morning. It would be plenty. We'd love to have that. If you put that in the offering plate for us, we'll have a record of your visit. Be able to. We'd just be thrilled to have that. But we'd really like for you to do this. Hang on to it. Okay? Hang on to it. And at the end of the service, go right out the back doors underneath the exit signs where those gentlemen are standing. The usher's back there in the back. And just outside those double doors and to the right, we have a guest reception area. We'd like for you to come by there. We have some refreshments. We have some gifts for you. We'd like for you to take with you. And we'd like to get to know you. The staff, pastor, would like to get to know you a little bit, find a little bit about you, and give you an opportunity to ask questions about us as well. So if you have things you want to know about the home place, we want to let you know about that. Now we have some have a busy week coming up. Have a great week coming up. Be attentive to the announcements. First of all and foremost, of course, next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Day. It'll be a big day. It's always a big day, but the festivities start on Friday night, the Day He Wore My Crown musical on the 25th, this Friday at 7 o'clock. Get one of your neighbors, get 10 of your neighbors, bring them to be here. The gospel will be clearly presented, be confronted with the gospel, an opportunity to trust Christ as Savior. What a great weekend, what a great time. Any time is good, but what a special time when hearts are open and people are looking for a place to worship and to learn more about the resurrection of Christ. We want to give that to them, and we've got opportunities. So make sure, get folks here, and then on next Sunday, sunrise service, marching to Zion. We'll have communion in the sunrise service. And then we'll have, again, the Day He Wore My Crown musical. And then we'll have our main services. Pastor brings the message to us there. Big, big week. Make sure you're here, attentive, ready to go, rested up and in your place. And I'm sure the choir understands their announcements as well. Becky Reynolds' piano concert. You just got a little taste of what's going to be a full concert on the 22nd. What a great way to get prepared for the Easter season, for that coming up. And I'm looking forward to it. You should be as well. Again, get some friends. Bring them here. Give a little taste of the home place. And April 22nd. Change the 3 to a 4. I was surprised. I thought maybe it just got moved up. I was going with what was written down. Things happen in the bulletin. You have to be flexible. The bulletin's just a place to start, okay? Just a place to start. This is the framework that we operate off of. So be attentive to little changes that might be made. That's a big change. So April the 22nd, but you know about it right now, so there's no excuse to miss it. I'm going to ask about Paul Pitts and the Scribe. I'm guessing August. That's not the March 27th. That is August the 27th. So you can... Now I can't make an August out of the 3rd. I can't do it. I can't find a way to do that. Now you'll really remember. You can be preparing for that. Brother Mark has some announcements, so he'll come ahead.
Okay. All right. Now, the Easter musical, we do have the invite cards on the back table. After today, they're really useless, so please take them. Please take them with you. They're in packs like this, and then you can take a handful as well. And let me encourage you, if you take a pack, you can get some exercise if you'll go through your neighborhood. And just stick them in the doors. Just stick one in every door. And it's in a pack so that way they won't go everywhere in your car. But if you want to just take a handful, that'd be fine too. And invite folks. You'll be surprised, the people that will come on Friday night. And I encourage all of you all to come on Friday night. You say you'll be here on Sunday morning? Well, good, wonderful. You'll get the, quote, second blessing on Sunday morning. You will see things and hear things that we may do differently on the Sunday morning presentation that you didn't see on Friday night. So it's not a rerun. It's a special opportunity. So Friday, 7 o'clock, and all that schedule. Let me encourage the moms and dads who would like your children to be in the musical. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and a lot of you got with our directors and things. If perhaps you just heard about it for the first time and you'd like to see about your children being part of that, they don't have to have any lines to say. They just have to be here tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, and we'll get them costumed and get them to know exactly what they're doing Monday and then Wednesday for the dress rehearsal and then Friday. So if you would please see me after church if you don't have the information on that and would like to. I want to remind all the actors to be here for a tech rehearsal on tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday morning, we're meeting here at 9 o'clock. If you want to get some breakfast, we'll be here about 20 till 9, and we'll have Chick-fil-A for you and coffee and all the trimmings and things that we can kind of charge you up with. And then we'll wind you up and put you to work for a couple of hours. We're usually out of here by about 11, 11:30 at the latest, before lunch. We don't want to feed you again, so we try our best to get you home. And you have the rest of your day, but you know, this is something that folks enjoy. We work together and have a great time setting up for God's blessings on Sunday morning. Sunrise service and the breakfast and all of that. So be part of it, would you please? Don't be a consumer. Be a participant. And God will bless you for that. And that'll be at 9 o'clock on Saturday. And also, if there's someone in here, a couple of guys perhaps, that would be willing to help tomorrow morning, that aren't afraid of heights, that can help us hang some things up here. We have a lift, and it'll be safe in that regard. But still, it's up, you know, higher than the platform. And so if you'd like to help me with that on tomorrow, see me after church. Thank you.
How many of you today have a visitor here with you? Would you raise your hand? If you have a visitor here with you today, thank you so much. Thank you so much for bringing visitors. I hope you'll come by the fellowship after the service and let us meet them and take a little time to do that. You can stay as long as you want, but you don't have to stay any length of time at all. I'm glad to have a visitor here from Ripley, West Virginia. Good to have Brother Jack, right? Mike, okay, from Rick Prine's church, and good to have folks right here on the fourth row from Richard Wallace's church. He came here and preached this week, and they decided they'd rather come hear me. And Judy Fink is out of the hospital, but in rehab, and good to have her granddaughter Amber here today. And Amber was a little kid here. She's all grown up now, but she still looks so young. But Norm, I know you're glad to have her here with you today, and what a delight it is to see. I'm so glad you've come. Get your book. Let's stand again, if you will. Brother Mark, come lead us.
329. Let's stand as we sing. There is power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Sing it now.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. And ushers, come forward, if you will. While they're coming, I'll remind you to pray for David Hipson's employee, Brian. And Brian was working on installing a fence, and a guy and a girlfriend were having an argument, and she jumped in the car and took off, and he took a gun and fired at the car twice, and a stray bullet hit the employee and went right through his heart. And to this point, he's still alive, and they've done the surgeries, and it's just everything about the same as last night, Dave. Okay. Was responsive for a while and then went into AFib, and they got that taken care of, but not responsive now. And so please be much in prayer for Brian. Amen. 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 God bless your heart. I have a note here from Alicia Robles. Alicia had cancer surgery, and the surgery is successful. And they believe they got all of that. They believe they got all the cancer, but doing some things that are precautionary, and she's recovering right now, still in the hospital, but recovering. So we pray much for Alicia, and I trust you will pray also for Dave Martin, and this is Barbara Martin's husband, and hopefully he's out of intensive care. He was still in intensive care when I saw him yesterday, but hopefully he's out of intensive care now, but still not able to speak. And just a very difficult situation, and they're not sure exactly what's going on. But just a lot of things, a lot of things, and a lot of requests among you. I know that. And so let's bear one another before the Lord, up before the Lord. And bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We come now to this worship time that we worship our Lord. And giving to Him an offering, we bring an offering to our Lord to worship Him today. Father, as we come to the time that we worship You in this way, now, Lord, we do not bring an animal sacrifice. That's long gone, Lord, since Jesus Christ was offered as the ultimate sacrifice. But, Lord, we bring an offering. We bring not a sin offering, because we can offer nothing for our sins. But, Lord, we bring an offering of praise. We bring an offering of thanksgiving. And we worship You with that today. And as we give, Lord, I pray it will not be just putting money or an envelope or a check into a plate that passes in front of us. But, Lord, it will be an act of worship. It will be more than that. It will be an expression of love to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
And all God's people said, yeah, they did. And they shouted, yeah. Wow, good, good job. Sandy, good to see you back with your little nose decoration and everything. Good to see you back. Glad you're here. All right. I think we can jump ahead a little bit after that to next Sunday. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Let's stand together and sing it, if you will. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow, wow. Those words are in the bulletin. If you need them, you can take them with you. Sing it all week this week, if you'd like to. Let's sing it through one more time. Then we're going to let you fellowship a little bit. Let the choir come down with you. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Those around you, meet someone you never met before in your life. Learn their name, find out where they're from. Seated. When you find your place and you can't find anybody else to talk with, well, just go ahead and be seated. I have a pair of sunglasses here somebody lost sometime. I don't know when, but they're here. And if it's your prescription, well, that'll be all right. No, I don't think they're prescription, but anyway. Classical setting musically from Beethoven, and a marvelous passage of Scripture from Isaiah 53. I'm going to ask the voices of victory to come, if they will, and sing for you today. The song entitled Atonement, but it's surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. All of those things despised and rejected of men. He was wounded for our transgressions.
Carried our sorrows, but we claim by sin and rejected him.
Beautiful song, a beautiful message, and a scene that is not so pleasant. I want you to look today, if you will, at a couple of pictures. We have been looking at mountains of the Bible. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at Mount Moriah. The mountain we come to now is in the same geographical location. It's called Mount Calvary. Calvary is such a lovely word because the music that is written around Mount Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride at Calvary. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. It's that same geographical height there in Jerusalem. 2,500 feet above sea level, coming up from the Dead Sea, which is 1,300 feet below sea level, and climbing up to the highest point in that part of Israel, you always go up to Jerusalem. Whether you're coming from the south or the north, east or west, you go up to Jerusalem. But it's higher, much higher, spiritually, than it is physically. I'm not sure they've given me technology. And if you give me technology, I don't do very well with this. This is looking from the Mount of Olives. In the Mount of Olives, you see here the Dome of the Rock. In this place right here, the Dome of the Rock. That's the Dome of the Rock. We learned about that today as the place that has been for centuries, yea, millennia, been referred to as the place where Abraham offered Isaac. Now, of course, the Muslims say that there Abraham went through this ordeal with Ishmael, but that's certainly not true. That's certainly not true. It is the place many believe that the temple stood and that the rock that is under that rock is the place that was covered by Solomon's temple and later by Herod's temple. But this whole area, looking from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley here, we're kind of at the north end looking south toward the Dome of the Rock. We'll get a different view and perspective here in a moment. But this whole area is Mount Moriah. This whole area is Mount Moriah. I do not know if you can see, and it's a little difficult for me, but right here is a church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And some believe that was the place where the crucifixion took place. It was on Mount Moriah. It's there on Mount Moriah. There's a problem with that, though. There has been some configurations done and some things have been done to accommodate that in history that looks very awkward. It looks done simply to accommodate the church because even at the time this church was picked as the place, it was within the walls of the ancient city of Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ was crucified outside the wall. There is a place on Mount Moriah right out here. It's kind of that little green area right there. That is called the Garden Tomb. We'll come to that in a moment. This is looking from the north end of the Mount of Olives at Mount Moriah. This is the Eastern Gate. At times, you get to walk right up beside the gate. There's a path comes right down through here. A sidewalk down through this Muslim cemetery, put there to prevent a priest from crossing it, because our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has prophesied to enter into the Eastern Gate. So the Muslims said, we'll put a cemetery here. And that way, the priest cannot cross it, and he cannot fulfill that promise and open this gate and enter into this place. This picture is taken. This is valley down here is the Kedron Valley. This picture is taken from the Garden of Gethsemane, looking across the Kedron Valley at the Eastern Gate. I promise you, our great high priest will have no problem dealing with that. Got to figure out which way to make this go. This is also part of Mount Moriah. Now, I do not know how long this mouth down here, eye sockets here, nose bridge right here, this right here, I do not know how long that has been like that. But a man named General Gordon was staying with his friend, Philip Spafford, who wrote It Is Well With My Soul. He was staying with him in Jerusalem. Mr. Spafford lived basically on the wall or in the wall around Jerusalem. Mr. Gordon was looking one day and he looked over and he saw this and he says, that looks like a skull. Golgotha in Hebrew means the place of the skull. Now some people say it was because executions took place in the bottom area right here and they discovered many skulls there in excavation. This picture was taken in 1900. And of course, erosion and things take place over the years. The crucifixion probably did not take place on the top of this mountain. If this indeed is the place, it probably took place at the base of the mountain because there was a road by that, right by that place. Interestingly enough, the road comes out of the Damascus Gate, and it is the beginning of the road to Damascus. So here you have on Mount Moriah, a place of the skull. This is a newer picture. Now I want you to see something down here in the bottom right-hand corner. Down in the bottom right-hand corner. You know what that is? That's a bus station. This is a current picture. This is a current picture. And if you drive on the street past the Damascus Gate and you look back through the buildings into the buses where the bus depot is, this is what you see. And you can see there's been much erosion here that has taken away. And of course, the fence and everything covers up. Here's where the nose would have been and the mouth area down here. But this is the same area. This is the same area, and erosion has taken place, particularly in the years with the bus station, the vibration, the soft limestone that is there in that area. That all takes place there. But where you're looking from is an area where you're seated when you visit this area, and the place that the discussion is given and the explanation is given of the area and what has taken place. If you leave the area which we were looking at and just walk around less than 2 minutes, there was in that place a garden. And in that garden, there was a tomb. And this is what we call the garden tomb. You can see the deterioration that has taken place here. But people enter right here and go in. And as you go into the right, there are places where people would be laid in their death. Really, the tomb is unfinished. Parts of it were never completed. It's like they gave up on that after some event that took place. The next picture is a frontal view looking into the tomb. Now, what you can't see, because this door here is, I believe it's open here. But if it were closed and you could see the sign on it, there's a sign on the door right here that says, "He is not here, for he is risen." Thank you, gentlemen. In Luke chapter 23, in verse 33, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, Luke 23, verse 33, all the things that have transpired up until this point, in Matthew chapter 27, in Mark chapter 15, in John chapter 19, all these things that have taken place here in Luke 23, the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, the trial before the Sanhedrin, and it's amazing how the religious leaders are totally involved in the crucifixion. How they lead in it, how they seemingly, from everything the Scripture says, how they enjoyed it. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary. It's the same word as Golgotha, except it's a different language. Now, we have both words in English, but Golgotha is a Hebrew word, whereas Calvary is an Aramaic word. But they both mean the place of the skull. The place of a skull was a place of death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. There's nothing pleasant about Calvary. The name suggests only the place of a skull, a hill outside the city, an unconsecrated spot near the place where they burned the refuse from the temple and temple sacrifices. The circumstances of the crucifixion certainly added no glamour or beauty. The earth shuddered with pain and the sky blackened with sadness. The people gathered in madness. There were few, if any, merely curious onlookers that day. Most of them were jeering the victims to be hung on the crosses. Most of them had come to witness a carnival of blood. In particular, they were crying for the blood of the one on the middle cross. There were few sympathetic friends that gathered to watch, and they were sad and silent, but there was noise. I remember the first time I visited Calvary. I listen to them rev the engines on those diesel buses and yell and holler at each other right there at the bus station at Calvary. And I was so offended. And I thought, why doesn't somebody make them stop? Why do not they revere this place? And it was almost as if no audible voices or anything like that. But it was almost like the Lord said to me, it's always been that way. Now the followers were quiet. Those that loved the Lord were quiet. And as we sat there that day, we sat there with tears in our eyes as we thought about our Lord being crucified. But most of the people cared nothing about it. On the day he was crucified, there was noise, all kinds of noise. There was gambling. There was cursing. There was blood. It was a horrible scene. There's nothing lovely about Calvary. Jesus suffered. Friends mourned and his enemies were gleeful. Then why Calvary? Why Calvary? Why was there Calvary? Dearly beloved, there was Calvary because there was sin. It needs to be said sharply that there's nothing but ugliness about sin. Satan always tries to make it seem attractive and rewarding, but man's first discovery after original sin was his own sense of shame and loss and of companionship with God. Almost immediately in the record of the Bible, after that original sin, comes that horrible sin of brutal murder of one brother killing another for religious reasons. A horrible thing. That sin had to be stopped. It had to be dealt with. It had to be cured. And it took Calvary to do it. The gold crosses and the white lilies at Easter are sometimes deceptive because they tend to make us forget the brutality of Christ's cross. They tend to hide the agony and the loneliness and the revolting carnage of that scene. Now it's true, and I love the fact that Christians do not stop at the cross. But we start there. We start there. And anything that robs the cross, or that tends to rob the cross of its centrality, of its being the very center of Christian doctrine and of the Christian life, anything that would tend to take that away must be accursed. When the cross becomes just an ornament and Calvary becomes just a beautiful garden, there's no longer the sacrifice for sin. Calvary is not pleasant or pretty, but I must tell you, it is gloriously effective. Jesus overcame Satan there forever. The full price for human redemption has been paid in full. And in heaven itself, there will be no sweeter refrain than the song of Moses and the Lamb. The song of redemption by Jesus' blood on Calvary's cross. So God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the season of the cross. This is the seed time for the whole Christian faith. In the cross of Christ, may our souls ever rejoice. We sang it earlier today. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Near the cross, near the cross. Be my glory ever. Till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Oh, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we not sing, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross to my trophy. At last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown. Oh, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, necessitated by sin and effective to stop the sin. If you were in Sunday school, you went to Mount Moriah today. Perhaps in your class you looked at the time that the death angel was coming to Jerusalem. And David went and met Ornan at his threshing floor. And at the threshing floor, a sacrifice was offered, and the plague of death was stopped. And dearly beloved, outside the city gate of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ went to the cross, and the plague of sin was stopped there. And if you'll come to the cross, the plague of sin will stop in your life. There on Mount Moriah, there where Abraham put Isaac on the altar, and Isaac willingly laid himself upon that altar, prepared to be the sacrifice that God demanded. Oh, the faith of Isaac. We talk about the faith of Abraham, and rightfully so. But oh, the faith of Isaac. No doubt that young man in strength could have overpowered his dad. If he couldn't overpower him, he could sure outrun him. But he didn't. He willingly went to the altar. And Jesus Christ on the cross turned that place of execution into a place of sacrifice. He turned that wooden cross into a golden altar. He was the priest that offered the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice itself, and he was the God that accepted the sacrifice that he himself offered on the cross. There. I've never traveled very far around the world. I've never seen the many sights. But I've taken the journey of journeys for me up Calvary's Mountain. They're my Savior to see. I've been to Calvary. I'm not talking about a physical experience. Is that the place where Jesus was crucified? I don't know. The one thing I do know, that he was crucified. That's a good place to remember that. Is that the tomb where he rose from? I don't know, but it's a good place to remember that he's alive. But I've journeyed to Calvary, to the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. And the ground is level at the cross. You say, well, it looks like it's kind of undulating and there's a hill. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about at the cross. Everybody comes equally a sinner. Everybody comes equally guilty before God. Everybody comes equally helpless before God. Whether they're religious or non-religious, whether they're educated or uneducated, whether they're rich or poor, the ground is level at the cross. There is no one here today. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many churches you belong to. And I care not what sin you may have committed. The ground is level at the cross, and the cross is sufficient for every person that comes. There they. There, at that place, Moriah, appointed of God, chosen by God. At the appointed place. Oh, it's quite a place. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about David and Ornan. Some people believe creation took place there. I don't know. You say, well, it doesn't look like a place creation would take place. Well, you have to understand the flood has happened between then and now. The flood took place. That would change everything. I visited in Hebron. You're not supposed to go to Hebron. If you visit the Holy Land, I'd encourage you not to go to Hebron. It's a hot place, hot place. But I visited Hebron, the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Ishmael are buried. In that place, under that great and mighty building that is built over that ground, the cave of Machpelah, where the patriarchs are buried, there were just a couple of people there that day. And as the guide and I went into the area and we were looking at the places and so forth like this, there was a lady there. And she said, do you know what's right over here? I said, I have no idea what's right over there. She said, those are the graves of Adam and Eve. I thought, really? How did they find that after the flood? But anyway, you know, things tend to go a little further. But for 3,000 years, the cave of Machpelah has been pretty well established for 3,000 years as to where it was. Maybe 3,600 years. There. They. If you look at the people that are gathered around the cross, now the soldiers are there, of course. Those are the Romans. Those are the administrators of the execution. Those are the torturers. And if anybody knew how to torture people, Romans did. They were professionals at it. They. The soldiers were there. But the religious leaders were there. All the way through the Scripture, in all four Gospels, it talks about the ones who were there. There were the scribes. There were the priests. There were the elders. There were the rulers of the people. Whenever it says the rulers of the people, it's not talking about Pilate and Herod being out there. It's talking about the religious rulers, the Sanhedrin. All of these religious leaders are out there to watch this execution whenever their responsibility was back in the temple. That's where their responsibility was. They were getting ready for Passover. But they weren't in there doing their job. They were out there mocking the one whom they hated. The one for whom they had cried for his death. They. But if you look in the crowd, if you would look closely and if we were to show you a picture of the crowd that was there that day, and if you'd look at and you'd look at each individual face, you would see something. All of a sudden you'd say, that's me. I'm there. I preached one time on the death of the testimony of a Christian teenager. The death of the testimony of a Christian teenager. Not the death of the teenager, but the death of the testimony. And interestingly enough, that day, since we were dealing with the death of the testimony of a Christian teenager, we moved the young people, about 175 of them, on buses to a funeral home. And we met in the funeral home. It was a little uncomfortable for everybody. I intended it to be that way. And the funeral directors helped me. We had a casket there. The casket was open. And after I had spoken, the funeral directors came in and they marched the young people in single file line past the casket. And as they looked in the casket, I told them to look to see whose testimony had died. And when they looked in the casket, there was a mirror. If we would look on Calvary, we'd look in there, we'd see a mirror that reflects our image. Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin, if on him my sins were not there? And he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. You say, well, I would never have been one of those that mocked him. I would never have been one of those that turned away from him. Well, how do you treat him now? How do you treat him today? How do you treat him in the community? How do you treat him at work? What we do now indicates what we would have done had we been there. There they crucified. What a horrible method of execution. There were other methods of execution that the Romans used. But crucifixion was especially designed to torture before death. The suffocation. The scourging. The crown of thorns. The mocking. The loneliness. With the crown of thorns, you understand that whenever they put a crown of thorns on his head, the next statement says they took the reed that they put in his hand and smote him on the head. And when they did that, they simply drove the thorns into his scalp. There are those who can describe that much more fully than I can. If you want to read a doctor's perspective of it, you could read Dr. M.R. DeHaan as he describes the suffering of crucifixion. They've tried to portray that in film. They've tried to portray that in The Passion of the Christ. And to some extent, they do describe the physical suffering of Jesus. But dearly beloved, it wasn't just physical suffering. Whenever for 3 hours the sun hid its face, as if God would draw a curtain over the sun and say to people, I'm not going to let you look at this. Because this went beyond physical suffering. And in that time, Jesus, the holy, sinless Son of God, God incarnate in human flesh, took up on him our sins. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The young people sang about it just a moment ago. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Our iniquity was upon him. And he suffered spiritually. I do not understand this. I don't guess I will ever understand this. I don't know if in heaven we will understand how that God the Father and God the Son mystery of mysteries, when the three are one, and yet in that unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there comes somehow a separation until he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think we do not explore that much because it's beyond our comprehension. But what our Lord went through in that time was not because he enjoyed it. It's not because it was fun. Not because it was pleasant. But he did that because he loves me and he loves you. And I know sometimes we talk about, I just think I'm God's favorite. You know what God did, he did for me. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. He did it for you as much as he did it for me. There's not one person in here that God does not love and that Jesus Christ did not die for. He took your place. He suffered your hell. He suffered as much as you, a mortal being, could suffer if you died and went to hell and stayed forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You say, well, how could he do that? How could he suffer that much in that space of time? Because as an infinite God, he could suffer infinitely beyond anything that we as finite beings could suffer. And he suffered in our place. There they crucified him. Who did they crucify? They crucified the Holy Lamb of God. They crucified the Lord of glory. They crucified the only sinless one who lived his life and never committed a sin. They crucified him. They crucified him. Where was the man whom Jesus spit on the ground and put mud in his eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing? Oh, Mary Magdalene was there. She had no voice, but she was there. Oh, where was the mother from Nain whose little son had been raised from the dead? Where were the lame that he had made to walk? Where were the lepers that he had cleansed? Do not know the answer to those questions. But the one who did all of those things, the one who gave life and breath to the soldier who took the hammer and the nail and drove it through his hand, him. They crucified him. They crucified the one who loved them. They crucified the one that loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just give him to come be born in a stable. He didn't just give him to live and work in Nazareth. He didn't just give him to do miracles and heal people and teach them about God. He gave him to die on the cross. there they crucified him. Mount Calvary. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me, please, if you can just stay in place just a moment. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never done that, but you would say today, I will trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. With everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, would you just raise your head and look at me just a moment? If you today will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you will do that, just lift your head and look at me. I want to say something to you very personally. I want to tell you that if you had been the only person in the world, Jesus Christ would have done what he did just for you. That's how much he loves you. How can you look back to him and say, so what? I don't care about that. That doesn't mean anything to me. How can you say that to one who loves you so much? In just a moment, if you will trust Christ as your Savior, I want you to simply tell him so with every head bowed and every eye closed now. You don't have to pray out loud. You're not praying to the person beside you. You're not praying, certainly not praying to me. But if you will tell God, form these words, even with your lips, form these words, though you may not say them out loud. If you want to pray out loud, that's perfectly all right, of course. But will you just in your heart say to God, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve what Jesus did for me. But I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead with power to forgive my sins. And right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you did that, I'd like you to walk down here and say, preacher, I did that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Of course you don't have to do that. But I would rejoice with you. If you're here and you need to just come tell the Lord, Lord, for all your love for me, I sure haven't been living like I love you. I thank you for saving me, but I sure haven't been living the way I should be. You maybe need to come talk to him about that. Maybe you say, well, preacher, I still don't know whether I get that or not. You walk down here and shake my hand, and if I say to you, why are you coming? You simply say, I want to be saved. Just say those words, I want to be saved. Someone will open the Bible and show you exactly how to trust Christ as your Savior. If you've missed it to this point, somebody will help you right here. There may be some God spoken to you about coming, being part of this fellowship, being part of this church. We'd love to have you in God's will. But especially, if you need to trust Christ, or you just want to say, today I got saved, or if you want to come, just find a place here to kneel and say, I love you, Lord. We're going to have the instruments play, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I'm going to walk down to the front, right here in front of this table. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If God's spoken to your heart, and you need to come right now, come right on. We wait just a moment. So much, you may be seated. I tell you what, let's do. Let's sing the chorus. Ah, we know the first verse. The old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The
I love that old cross. Where the dearest and the best.
For a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my throne. At last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
I want you to meet the Nelsons. You've seen them around, but I want them to stand here with me, if you will. Brad and Paulette, just stand right here with me. And I thank God for these folks. Brad, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you?
Yes.
And are you trusting Jesus Christ as your own Savior?
Yes.
Amen. We rejoice with you in that. We're going to talk with him about this and get exactly the matter of his baptism squared away. But it is your desire to come be a member here. Is that right?
That is.
Amen. Paulette, you know you've trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And since your salvation, you've received believer's baptism?
Absolutely.
These are coming to join with us today. If you welcome them, would you let them know it by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, don't let me come between you, okay? Welcome to the family. We say welcome to you.
Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to the family of God.
All these folks over here are singing with their hands to Paulette because she interprets and she's part of the deaf ministry, and we're so glad to have them. Let's stand together, if you would. Be back tonight, if you can at all, at 6 o'clock, and give Brother Mike his microphone.
The orchestra played a beautiful song, I Will Serve Thee Because I Love Thee. There's some opportunities real quickly on your way out. There's a sign-up sheet back there. Some of you would be willing to serve the breakfast food and help with that on next Sunday. We need about 12 folks that would do that. You won't miss the service. The video will be in the activities building. And do we have some folks that would say, yes, I'll do that. I'll help next Sunday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can't see everybody. Okay, if you would, please sign up back there at the back door. There's a sign-up sheet. And then Saturday morning, if we could have about 5 to show up to help in the kitchen. And if we ask for 5, we might get 8 or 9. That would be great. But Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, to help in the kitchen to prepare for that, that would be marvelous.
Big week, Friday night, and then next Sunday, big day, 7 o'clock, sunrise service. I hope you'll be here. It'll be a wonderful time together, and we'll pray the rain away, though we need it. We'll pray it away for a little while, okay? I don't know that we could have the faucet in our hand, but nevertheless. I hope you will. If you're visiting with us, take a few minutes, come by. I'll be right there in the reception area in just a moment. I'm going to say goodbye to the folks on live stream. Then I'll be right there with you. Brad and Paulette, come on back up here a minute. Come on back up here a minute. I want the folks to come by and shake hands with you, tell you how glad... interesting kind of response my microphone gets when it comes by there. Yeah, okay. All right. And I want you to shake hands with them, tell them how glad we are to have them. Greet those around you. Be careful in the parking lot. Don't run over anybody. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock, okay? God bless you. You're dismissed. Well, it's a wonderful day that we've come to, and this is the season of the cross, and we thank God for the cross, and we look forward to next Sunday, and we look forward to the resurrection. What an exciting time. Wish you could be here. Wish you could be here for sunrise service, but you know what? we stream the sunrise service also. So I hope you'll come. Hope you'll be with us. It has been a delight to have you today. I just enjoyed the service so much. There they crucified him. What a shocking statement from the Word of God, and yet foreordained from the foundation of the world. Thank you for being with us. I hope you'll be with us every opportunity you get. Join us again tonight at 6 o'clock. Trust you have a good day today on this Lord's Day. God bless you.